You have tuned in to Open Mic on CJSF Radio, broadcasting on 90.1 FM from Burnaby Mountain, BC.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. Burnaby is located on the ancestral and unceded and stolen homelands of the Halkomelem and Squamish speaking people. You can listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the App Store, and keep up to date on all of our social media. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for tuning back in to my open mic session on this slightly chilly Thursday. I am Rebecca, and welcome back. For those of you who do not know me, I am a public affairs intern here at CJSF 90.1 FM, and I have been featuring on Intravenous and my open mic for a couple of weeks now. For Intravenous, is probably coming up close to a month. And the last couple of open mics, I've been talking about the political situations in Europe with a rise in support for far-right populism, particularly in relation to a huge increase seen in anti-immigration sentiment in the UK, France, and Germany especially. So if you want to go check those out, they are on the cjsf.ca website under the open mic playlist if you are interested. And today I'm going to be switching it up a little bit and talking to you guys about a topic that I personally find really interesting, and it probably has something to do with that I study sociology and criminology. So I'm going to be talking to you guys a bit about the criminal justice system in England and Wales, giving you a brief kind of overview of the different agencies involved and some of the issues that we're seeing within them. I also want to talk about my experience probably in the second half of this open mic from when I was involved with the criminal justice system earlier this year, because I was summoned to be a member of a jury for 2 weeks, and you don't hear a lot about how people's experiences went and sort of the things that you notice, especially in relation to some of the issues that we will be talking about in different parts of the criminal justice system. I felt like I noticed a lot of them when I was a jury member. So definitely stay tuned for that. And as always, I'll have a really cool selection of music for you guys, incorporating a bit of a mix from all over. We have some Canadian, some British, some Australian, some American. And so to start us off, we have 2 songs before we get into talking all things criminal justice system. And we're going to start with a song by an Australian band, The Terries. We've heard from their latest album, Skate Pop, previously on another open mic that I did. But this is a different song off the same album. This song is titled No Bad Days. This is the clean version I'm going to play, but there is a more explicit version on the album. So I hope you guys enjoy.
Many battles got ice, nothing.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, and I'm Rebecca, and this is my open mic. And that song that you just heard is called Flame. It is by an English rock band called Sunder Akama, and they were formed back in 2011. And that is one of my favorite songs by them. It's off their 2017 album, Youth is Only Ever Fun in Retrospect. And the song that we heard before that was by the Australian band The Terries off their latest album, Skate Pop. And the single was titled No Bad Days, and that was the clean version. So now getting into kind of the overview of the criminal justice system in England and Wales, and some of the things that we are hearing about it that are not too great, some of the issues with it. So to start off with, the criminal justice system in England and Wales is an adversarial legal system. So that means that it is centered on getting through to the truth from an open kind of competition between the prosecution and defense. It's formatted in a way where two people advocate on behalf of their party's position, and an impartial group of people and a judge will listen to both sides and will determine the outcome of the case. So it's kind of set up as the truth is which side was more believable from an impartial person's perspective. And all the agencies in the criminal justice system have their own issues, but kind of like a main one that's seen throughout all of them is an unequal representation. So I have a couple of statistics. I won't go through them all because that can get kind of long-winded, but the Ministry of Justice in England and Wales produces data and statistics pretty much yearly, every other year, on the kind of representation of offenders and those in prison, those in police custody, those that are working in the criminal justice system, so you can kind of get an overview of the demographic of the people that are working there. So for the ethnic kind of statistics in 2022, just so you can get a picture of what it was looking like, we had 92% of police officers being white, 89% of district court judges were white, 87% of the prison service staff were white, 78% of the Crown Prosecution Service were white. And if you look at it in gender, it has improved a lot. So you'll see 67% of the Crown Prosecution Service were female, 54% of prison staff were female, 41% of district court judges were female. The one that's slightly not great is the police officers, which is 33% of police officers were female. And you'll notice that the police officers, they are in the news actually a lot and coming under a lot of scrutiny, particularly racially, with institutionalized racism being a big topic in the news in the UK, which I did touch upon a couple of weeks ago in my open mic. But these statistics will all support the bias in the areas of the criminal justice system that will impact its ability and responsibility to be impartial and just and to bring forth the truth in a non-biased way. And it's seen through statistics that this isn't happening. For example, white offenders have the lowest average custodial sentence length for indictable offences, and that's of 21.2 months. And you can compare that to Asian offenders, which they have an average custodial sentence length of 30.5 months, and that's a huge disparity just based on race. Additionally, like, there's disproportionality in the prison population to the general population for ethnic groups. So people of minority ethnicities make up 27% of the prison population in England and Wales as of 2024. And you can compare that with them making up only 18% of the general population. That is a huge disparity in which the statistics we're seeing of representation throughout all the different agencies in the criminal justice system being a contributing factor. So if we're going to go a bit more in detail into each separate agency, we'll start at the, I guess, the very start of the process of the criminal justice system. You'll be starting off with the police. So the role of the police is that they have the power to detect, prevent, and investigate crime with integrity, common sense, and sound judgment. Like, they are designed to uphold the law fairly and firmly and to bring justice to those who break it. Now, it can be argued whether that is really what they're doing, but they are seen as a core agency to protect the community and to preserve order. And policing, particularly in England and Wales, follows this style called policing by consent, where police officers exercise their power or their police powers with implicit consent of the public, as opposed to the power of the state. Now, we are seeing some very clear hindrances to the legitimacy of the policing in England and Wales. For example, I mean, I've already touched upon it, but they're not representative of the community they serve. So, like, 8.4% of police officers in England and Wales were from ethnic minority backgrounds, and only 5.5% of senior officers were from ethnic minority backgrounds. That is a starkingly low statistic if you look at them making up 18% of the general population. And not even on the statistics of the representation that is, like, also showing what how unrepresentative they are of the community, but the treatment of ethnic minority police officers when they're in the force. There was an article by the BBC that was released, I want to say, about less than a month ago, and towards the end of August, and they spoke to some ethnic minority officers in the Met Police, and I've written down some quotes that they got from the police officers who wanted to remain anonymous for their own safety. But they were describing their treatment to be like, they'll treat you like an animal, you get talked over, you were the last person asked for your views or feedback. And one of them even said, if you want to know what real discrimination feels like, join the Met. And considering these are experiences of police officers, and the police are designed to be this unprejudiced, integral part of getting to the truth behind crime, it's a very horrific thing to be hearing that ethnic minority police officers are getting treated this way. So it deters them for even wanting other ethnic minority people to even want to apply to be in the police. Additionally, you're seeing unfair and unequal practices done by the police, specifically in stop and search rates. So black people were 5 times more likely to be stopped and searched than white people in England and Wales in 2023. Now, this is a decrease, and it's been following a steady trend of a decrease since 2020, because in 2020 it was 9 times more likely. However, many are arguing that that statistic has only decreased because of the COVID-19 pandemic, obviously having an effect on all statistics and data collection. And not only as well are we seeing negative treatment of police officers, but also negative treatment from police officers with people that they deal with, victims, witnesses, and offenders. For example, Sarah Everard case, which was a huge case in England and Wales of a woman who got kidnapped, raped, and beaten to death by a police officer. So you could argue, with that being a very prominent news story, how could we trust the police as a force to be just and impartial and a safe sort of agency for us to go to if a police officer could do that? And statistics from an independent police organization saw 23 deaths in police custody in 2023, which was an increase of 12 since 2022, and it is the highest figure seen since 2017 and 2018, which just further shows you the negative treatment that police officers are having towards their victims and witnesses, as well as offenders. And there has been an issue of a lack of accountability of the police when issues have arisen and have been in the news. So there have been some improvements in that. I know they now all wear body cams, and those body cams have to be activated and on when they are on duty, so there can be a true clear run of events seen. Also in England and Wales, we now have independent bodies to almost check and investigate the police to ensure they are filling their role properly. Like, some of the more well-known ones have been the McPherson inquiry to institutionalise racism that was in response to the Stephen Lawrence murder. And a really recent one is the Casey Review from 2023 that was in response to the Sarah Everard case. And that report concluded that the force was guilty of racism, misogyny and homophobia, and that it was institutionalised, which the police commissioner refuted. He refuted that it was institutionalised. And finally, we have the Independent Office for Police Conduct, the IOPC, and their website states that the police complaint, they are the police complaints watchdog for England and Wales. Completely independent of them, they investigate the most serious complaints and conduct matters involving the police. So we are seeing a number of issues in the police anyway. And to be honest, whether they fulfill their role or not is up for debate. But I think from a lot of the statistics that are seen, it's that they're not filling their role to the best potential that they could be. And there are, we're starting to see that there are some measurements put in place to help get them to that part. Now, if we move on, the next stage in the criminal justice system is called the CPS. That is the Crown Prosecution Service. And their role is that they are responsible for prosecuting criminal cases investigated by the police and other investigative authorities. They are designed to be fully independent from the police and government in their decisions that they make. So they kind of, they decide which cases should be prosecuted, they determine appropriate charges in more serious or complex cases. They do advise the police in early stages of police investigations, but they work independently from the police when it comes down to prosecuting the case. They prepare the cases and present them at court. And they also provide information and assistance and support to victims and prosecution witnesses. Now, the Crown Prosecution Service have to be fair and objective and independent, so they have this code for Crown prosecutors that they have to follow. So to charge someone with a criminal offence, they must be satisfied that there is sufficient evidence to provide a realistic prospect of conviction and that prosecuting would be in the public interest. And the Crown Prosecution Service sort of came about more from the Prosecution of Offensive Act in 1985. And it was to provide an independent body to help reduce bias and prejudice when prosecuting cases, because the police used to be more heavily involved in prosecution. And that was leading to some miscarriages of justice and police errors in judgment and corruption because they were too closely involved. So the CPS came about and they will make charge decision based on two tests, the full code test and the threshold test. So that's a bit about the Crown Prosecution Service and where it came from. Now, it was designed to help avoid miscarriages of justice. However, there are their own issues within the CPS, of course. So designed to avoid police bias who worked too closely in the cases, there is also now prosecutor bias. So we're seeing now with the rise of prosecution of RASO cases, which is rape and sexual assault and sexual offence cases. There is a prosecutor bias in that, with rape myths coming in, and it's very early research now being conducted on it. But there is a lack of training for specialist prosecutors for these types of cases where they're highly sensitive and need to be handled, I'd say, a bit more delicately. There is also funding problems in the CPS. So since COVID, there has been a huge backlog in cases, with staff members in the CPS being in charge of too many cases at one time. And they can't dedicate their full attention to each case because there's just such a huge backlog. So you're getting cases being like slipped through the cracks and type of thing. And even though they are independent of the police, there are some high criticisms on that they still are working far too close to the police in that they advise the police during the investigations. So you can almost argue that the reason that it was designed and emerged kind of doesn't exist anymore because they still work really close with the police. And it's seen as well with the CPS isn't working properly because crime levels are rising, but the prosecutions from the CPS are actually falling. So I have a quote from an expert in the criminal justice system in England and Wales, and they are doing cutting-edge research actually into jury decision-making in England and Wales and how we can improve jury decision-making to ensure more fair and accurate trials. And they said that prosecutors in England and Wales appear to only be charging the, quote, easy cases and weeding out more difficult cases so that the rate of prosecutorial, that's a long word, yeah, success in convicting perpetrators appears higher than it truly is. So there you're seeing that the statistics that we see on crime levels and prosecutions are not accurate because the CPS is sort of filtering out which cases go to court and which cases don't. Which leads us on actually to the next stage of the criminal justice system, which are the courts and trials. So the structure of courts in England are they are split into two main branches. You have your criminal and you have your civil. So the criminal courts include the Court of Appeal, Crown Court, and Magistrates Court. And then the civil courts will include the Court of Appeal, High Court of Justice, and County Courts. So the civil courts have a jurisdiction that covers a wide range from small or simple claims to slightly larger claims, but they're not the severity that goes to criminal courts. So they sort of handle issues with damaged goods, recovery of debt, disputes between multinational companies. And what you'll see is that most civil disputes won't actually end up in court. And if they do, they very rarely go all the way to a full trial. Whereas in the criminal courts, all the cases will be starting at a magistrate's court, and about 95% of all criminal cases will be solved at a magistrate's court. But then the most serious cases will be referred up to the Crown Court for trial or sentencing. Now, the magistrate's court uses magistrate judges who are part-time volunteers from the local community, and they have no legal training, and they will often be two or three magistrates per case hearing. There is one member of staff in a magistrate's court that has legal training, so there is someone there to correct any legal language or legal guidelines that have to be followed. Now, the Crown Court, they use district judges, and they are full-time, legally trained, and they will deal with the longer, more complex cases, and you'll only have one district judge per case. So the magistrate's court only deals with three types of cases before they refer any up to the Crown Court. They will deal with summary offences, so they are less serious, such as your like motoring or minor assault offences. And then you have either way offences, and they can be handled by magistrates or Crown Courts, and that includes theft or handling stolen goods. And then you have indictable-only offences, and they are serious offences that have to be heard and referred up to the Crown Court. They cannot be handled by the Magistrates Court, and they are including the likes of murder, manslaughter, rape, robbery. So they'll be heard in the Magistrates Court, but they won't do anything. They'll refer it straight up to the Crown Court. And the Magistrates Court actually only has the power of sentencing up to 12 months, whereas the Crown Court has the sentencing power of up to life imprisonment.